Hello, and welcome to Revolutionize Your Love Life. Do you want to know more about love relationships, what makes them work, how to create the one of your best dreams? Do you want to be in a really healthy, juicy love relationship? In these podcasts, we will give ideas and practical advice to light your way. Whether you're looking for a love partner, already in a relationship you wish could be better, or leaving one that has run its course, there will be something to inspire, empower, and support you. Revolutionize Your Love Life is a fortnightly podcast where you will access the knowledge and wisdom of love experts and relationship coaches from across the world to help you find true fulfillment in love. I am your host, Heather Garbutt. Welcome. Hello again and welcome. Here we are. We're recording this on the 5th of May, 2020, right in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic. So it's a delightful, delightful experience for me to have Jen Joyce here. She's a conscious uncoupling colleague of mine, and she is a remarkable woman. She brings 25 years of adult evolution and leadership development expertise, which informs her work with couples as they go through separation or divorce. She's created award-winning leadership development programs for Bell Labs, where she was an early pioneer in combining professional, individual growth with development of the leadership team, a model now established as best practice. She was well ahead of her time. She studied with Catherine Woodward Thomas of Conscious Uncoupling fame over the last 8 years and is a certified Conscious Uncoupling coach. She merges her practical experience from the leadership team development with her insights into couples' relationships and helps couples navigate the often painful process of separation and divorce. Along the way, she helps each individual break through the old patterns that undermine that relationship. And consequently, each client has the support needed to create a more compassionate and courageous divorce process with much less harm to everyone involved, and enables them to uncover a more emotionally aware and healthy self that can create the future that they envision. Clients say they most appreciate the way she gently and lovingly does not accept anything less than digging deep. They say she brings a combination of experience, insight, and deep understanding, but also a no-nonsense strength that really comes across in the way she communicates. Welcome, Jen Joyce.
Well, thank you, Heather. It's so delightful to be here with you. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. So I'm a conscious uncoupling coach as well, but I really like to hear your take on what it is and what it does. Could you explain a bit?
Yes. So let me just say what conscious uncoupling is. At its most basic, it's a five-step program that was developed by Catherine Woodward Thomas to help couples go through divorce and breakup with the much needed support that any of us would actually need to do something that is so tough. It's interesting because while she'd been doing this for many years, it was Gwyneth Paltrow who actually made this famous back in 2014 when she was divorcing her husband, Chris Martin. You may remember the hullabaloo that people were reacting to that she would say conscious uncoupling, which I just thought was like, that's a beautiful thing to be doing. Mm. So I actually like what she has to say on her website, Goop, about what this is. I'm just going to read it to you. She defines it as the ability to understand that every irritation and argument within a relationship is a signal to look inside ourselves and identify a negative internal object that needs healing. I thought that's very succinctly put about what we're up to here.
Yeah, and we're going to unpack that a little bit later, I think, aren't we? So let's just leave that as the headlines there. Mm-hmm. So why does conscious uncoupling matter?
Well, there's many reasons, but actually one of the very top reasons has to do with brain neuroscience. And this neuroscience now tells us that this type of an attachment trauma, if you think about how fused in a very healthy way couples are, that we're almost like we exchange ourselves. We're so attached. And to imagine what it would feel like to have to pull that apart. Mm. And so it is very strong attachment trauma is what they call that. And it can make the brain kind of go crazy and have us do things that we would actually never want to do. Can't imagine that we would do. It reminds me of that Carrie Underwood song. You know, she says like, I dig my keys into the side of his pretty little souped up four-wheel drive. So it's like, in our right mind, we probably wouldn't go and key somebody's beautiful four-wheel drive.
But it's kinda true. Yeah, it's true. People really do get unhinged.
Yes.
There's a very well-publicized story of a woman that cut all the sleeves off her ex-husband's suits because he'd gone off with another woman and delivered his cellar of wine to the neighborhood.
Yeah. So we can really go off the rails. And so one of the things that conscious uncoupling matters is that we actually get the caring support that we need to be able to go through a time when it's going to be really hard for us to be on an even keel. Mm. And it's just trying to fight the biology of the breakup and the attachment trauma. So that's a really important reason why this matters.
Yeah, I'd like to say a bit about that because it makes us regress, you know, from my psychotherapy hat. These things go right to the core and they make us regress and behave like we would have as infants and small children. Mm-hmm. There's no sort of clear filter unless we work on it. You know, the urges are pretty primitive.
Yeah, yes, they are primitive. And so one of the things that really helps when we're feeling primitive and young and scared is to have a coach by our side who's actually helping us to think through our intention and what we actually do want to create in a more gentle and kinder way. And this, by being able to choose that kind of a path instead of kind of that really young, scared, emotionally charged path, is that we come out of that process where our kids, our partners, our families, our friends, and most importantly, ourselves, we all come through this process with so much more health and so much less damage. Mm. And that coach being by your side while you go through this is what can help you create that. Because it's such a tall order to do it by yourself.
Yeah. And I keep saying each time we have a call, you know, you can't think outside of your own box. And you certainly can't when you're in raw feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're in reactivity, I call it reactivity or being triggered. I always like, nothing good is ever going to come from that place. That's as best to get. To get myself out of that situation. Mm. So those are really important ones, but there's something that most people don't even realize they're going to get when they do conscious uncoupling. And that is the personal journey that they take, each of them takes. They end up developing a new level of self-awareness and healing around something I call an unconscious operating system. It's kind of this software that's been implanted from early on. We created strategies around how we're going to survive and matter in the world because of it. And now it's this unconscious operating system that just runs us, which is a pretty scary thing because we don't have conscious choice about the future that we're creating because it's happening so under the radar. And so as people go through this work, they actually end up healing and developing a new level of being a centered and wise adult that can actually set intention and make conscious choice about creating a future that they never imagined that they could actually have. Mm. So that's a big piece that people aren't even expecting. I know one of my clients, he said, I had no idea that I was personally going to have so much growth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the most important thing.
I completely agree. I get that feedback too. It's really powerful. And I think it is particularly eye-opening for men, you know, who maybe not had the opportunity to do this deep reflective work, nor to have the support and permission to own their feelings and express them in a safe place. Anybody that gets you as their coach is going to be really safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a great way of framing that up, that safety. It's interesting because I have a lot of men I work with now, and I just am so excited to see the progress that they make. In fact, so this is actually one of the quotes I just wanted to share that one of the men said at the end of his conscious uncoupling program. He says, I feel I have just learned so much about me, about relationships, about patterns, about this younger self and the story he created. I honestly don't know how I would have done this without the support. I would have just fallen back into the same old patterns.
Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful?
Amazing. Very clear.
Yeah.
Very heartfelt.
Yeah. There's one last thing that I really want to get to about why this matters. And it's really this. You know how there's an equation that talks about until the pain of remaining in the same situation or how I am is greater than the pain it's going to take me to change, I won't do anything.
Mm.
And this, as painful it is, as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to change the entire trajectory of your life in the most positive way, because you are going to be so dedicated and motivated and raw to be able to figure out what's been going on for you. Not all the great stuff that's going on for you, because I'm sure there's lots of great stuff, but those one or two patterns that have been undermining you in your relationships for your whole life. This is the moment that can make all the difference.
Yeah.
That's what I think is why this matters.
Yeah. I see this. It's my favorite little simile. It's like turning an oil tanker. You know, you only have to turn 1 degree, but my goodness, you end up in a completely different place.
Ah, yeah. Mm. Lovely. That's a good, I'm picturing that right now.
Sorry if that's distracted you.
No, I love it.
So your bio refers to your years as a leadership development consultant and coach. I wonder if you could just explain a little about how that's influenced your approach to conscious uncoupling. Because you've got a particular method, haven't you?
Yes, I do. And I do actually have a lot of gratitude for all that I got to learn by being in corporate America and doing this work on leadership development. And one of the things that was really important in my work was something called polarity management by a gentleman named Barry Johnson. This is very famous work. He's written many books. He's pretty elderly by now. But it is something that explains so much about what goes on in our relationships, in teams, in our world. So the way to think about that is that people think that there's a problem to solve or one right answer in situations. And right now I'm talking about business situations. But oftentimes it's actually not a problem to solve. There is no one right answer. In fact, it's more of a both and. So you can only manage a polarity. You cannot solve it. You try to manage to get the most upsides and less of the downsides of both. Let me give you an example. So consider, is it better to be married or better to be single? Well, I bet you can think of the positives and negatives for each of those sides, right? And so if you're going to manage that, the trick would be to manage to get more of the upsides of each and less of the downsides of each. When we have a polarity, such as being, you know, is it better to be married or be single, is that you can think of the upsides of both of them. And you can think of the downsides of both of them. And what you want to do in managing a polarity is try to manage to get the upsides as much as possible of both of those sides. So for example, an upside of being married is, I don't know, security and friendship and company, sharing your life. Upside of being single is freedom and adventure to go off and explore on your own, you know, things like that. So how could you manage to have more of those and less of the things that might be negative about being single or about being married? So that's how you work with a polarity. So just other couple of really life fundamental polarities are, is it better to have light or is it better to have dark? Is it better to breathe in or breathe out? And you can see in a polarity that if you really think it through, you can't say that it's one or the other. There's not a right answer. They're both are true at different times, right?
Yeah, got you.
So the way that this showed up was in starting to put together a leadership development program for the executives we were working with. And in the beginning, we were working with the whole team, and we would meet and facilitate them working through decisions, projects, vision, all kinds of things. So this is a story of Joe, who was on this team. And we would spend, as a team, as a leadership team, I mean, we might spend hours or days even to get to a final decision. I mean, we would start out like this wide divergent thinking and carefully and crisply and consciously work down to this convergence of ideas about how we were going to proceed. And just when we were getting ready to stick a pin in it and make that decision, Joe blows it all up. I always call it the train wreck. I don't agree with this. This is not what I'm going to do.
Oh, dear.
And we'd have to go all the way back to start over because Joe blew it all up. It's the train wreck. But what became so clear there is that there wasn't an opportunity for us to help Joe develop as an individual. And what we saw is that the team could only progress as much as the least developed person on the team.
Yeah.
So that became like, note to self. We've got to find a way to work with each individual. And so we did. We actually implemented weekly coaching for each person on the team. And with that addition, it gave us and them the opportunity to do their own personal work, to come to get to their own self-responsibility about what they were doing and what they were intending and putting into the group. So once we did that, it was just amazing results. And in fact, that has become a best practice in leadership development. So I don't know. You could say we figured it out first at Bell Labs. Who knows?
Bet you did.
So it's interesting. So what you have in that polarity is that you have the part and the whole. You have the individual leader and you have the team. And one without the other is going to be much less powerful. Working with the individual cannot actually change a whole big system all by himself.
Nope.
Working with the team is limited to the level of the least developed person in the group. So put the part and the whole in a polarity, work both sides of that, you've got magic.
Yeah, I completely see that. So how does this work with a couple? And explain to me.
So it's real interesting. When I first started working with couples, I ended up seeing the same polarity, but it took me a little while to kind of figure it out. So when I first was working with them, I actually had done some extensive study with Dr. Sue Johnson's work, Emotionally Focused Couples Therapy. Now, this model, it's a lovely heart-centered framework that really sets a couple up to have compassionate, caring connection between them, two of them. So it generates closeness and healing in the couple. So when I was first starting to work with couples, I was working with this one young couple, and that couple struggled with a man. The man had a lot of moodiness and even arrogance going on, and the woman had this inability to stand for herself. Mm. And while I would say that they did make progress, I ultimately felt that the process itself was slow because it didn't actually call out and give each one of them the opportunity to step into their best selves. There was so much dynamics for them to work through that they couldn't see, you know, their own part of the equation. It was all more outward focused.
So then from that point of view, there's likely to be a greater likelihood anyway of shaming and blaming that it's not me. If I'm not owning my stuff, it must be all them. Mm-hmm. And while they might be trying to be kind and compassionate, if that is the dynamic of disownment, it has to be the other person's fault.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And so it gets to be finger pointing and not taking that responsibility.
Yeah.
So as a coach, I'm really grounded, strongly grounded in this whole idea of personal ownership and self-responsibility. So this work with the couple and only the couple left me feeling like there was a whole other side of the polarity that was not being addressed.
Yep.
Now on the other side, when I started studying with Catherine in her work of conscious uncoupling, in my opinion, that work is much more focused on the individual growth, the individual healing, seeing their own part in the dynamic and how they brought that into their marriage.
Yes. And usually people are coached individually.
Mm-hmm. And usually they're coached individually. And so Catherine to me represented the part, the individual, and Dr. Sue Johnson's work represented to me the whole, the couple.
Mm.
So what I ended up doing is integrating the work of both the emotionally focused couples therapy with Catherine's work that would have had the emphasis on the individual healing. And when I did that, I started seeing this whole different level of success with couples. And this was when I was working with couples actually who wanted to stay together.
Right. Ah, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do you apply this? You know, when you're looking at the polarity, the individual and the couple, and you're working with the couple together to consciously uncouple, how does that all fit together?
Yes. Well, I just love how this model works in conscious uncoupling, because it really gives them this support individually and support as a couple. So individually, each person has to have this significant healing, this self-ownership and responsibility in order to come to the divorce, for them to come to the divorce with less wounding, less reactivity, more compassion for themselves, for their partner, and more access to that wise-centered adult self that oftentimes gets shoved aside in that neuroscience brain pattern that wants us to kind of go to that younger place, right? Yeah. So you have that in the individual work. But what about the couple? So as a couple, they're going through the divorce and they're trying to maintain their sanity, but also have this care and compassion for each other. Well, that's a really tall order. And in addition, they're supposed to have some really, what I think are very nuanced and sophisticated conversations with each other, if they can. And so I think that by providing the scaffolding for them to come together to have some of those important conversations takes them much, much further. I'm sure that they have a much deeper and much more powerful conversation with the help of a coach than they would ever have on their own.
Yes, because they're both supported by you.
And they both have a relationship with me.
Yeah, that's where I was going. You know, they know you. They trust you. Mm-hmm. They know you're not on anybody's side.
Yeah.
And that actually you have their mutual good at heart.
Yes. And they also know that our work is never about really the other person. Mm. Our work really is about, what am I bringing to this dynamic?
Yeah.
And so they don't get to do that. They don't do the finger pointing. It's such a beautiful process. I want to just give you an example of how this worked with a couple that I worked with.
Yes, okay. Please.
So this is the story of Jay and Amy. I'm sure that you've gotten to work with people like this, couples or individuals who are just so advanced. They've done a lot of their own personal journey. You can tell, what was it? The couch ready. They're couch ready. they've done all their work. So I would say that they were very much this way. And they were committed to doing this process together. But when they first came in, it was interesting because Amy was the one who wanted to separate and Jay didn't. In fact, he was actually blindsided. So when they came in, the story that they told me was that they thought that they might want to separate. And Amy was the one who was really more on that side of separating. And Jay was actually blindsided by this whole idea. He thought that they had this perfect marriage. They had two little girls. They had successful careers. They were a role model to all of their friends. And this was just really a shock. So he was angry about this and just, you know, basically in shock. And Amy herself felt so guilty that she could barely even say this. In fact, when they first came in, they didn't really know, they said, whether they wanted to divorce or separate or not. And in the first session together, I asked them, you know, where they were, you know, like if you were sitting on the fence, if they were already over the fence, if they were just moving up to the fence. And it gave Amy permission to actually say what she wanted, because really, I mean, she had a perfect marriage. Who the hell was she to destroy it? How could she have that right? And she had a lot of good reasons for it, but none of them were, they were more, much more undercurrent, loss of self kinds of things than, you know, anything that you actually can see, which makes it really hard for a woman to say, I need out.
Yeah. That happens so often that one partner on the face of it, you know, appears to be in the happiest marriage. Both partners appear to be in the happiest marriage. But actually the dynamics where things have unraveled over time and they've developed sort of set patterns of behaving towards each other that are somehow implicitly alienating and disconnecting, and it deadens the love that was between them.
That's so interesting you said that, because one of the things that came out, we got together the second time, and there's some significant work that they need to do, make amends to each other. You know, there's talk about what they've learned about their own story and how it impacted the marriage. We were in the middle of it, and I found myself getting so tired. I was like, wow, why am I so tired? And it's like, they are so in their heads. They are so intellectual about this. This is totally dead. And that is actually how their whole marriage was. And the big piece that they really came to realize is that they had each given up their own personal power of what they needed and wanted. They didn't stand for themselves. They gave in to each other. I mean, gave in is not even the right word. They didn't even get that far. So it was very, they both felt very, very deadened. So what's really interesting is in the process, you know, it's kind of about 2/3 of the way through the process, we have our third couple session. Well, I do all of the individual coaching online or on the phone. So I hadn't seen them in person for a while. I was shocked when they came in. The difference in them was just astounding. They were light. They were alive. They were even funny. And they were hilarious. Nothing I had ever seen before in them.
Oh, wow. What a thrill.
In fact, in the middle of their separation, they were both so happy because they had actually found themselves. They had rediscovered who their own true selves, and they were alive. And they hadn't been alive individually for over a decade. So that's the power of working with a couple. That's just one experience.
Yeah. Brilliant. Brilliant. So I'm just amazed by that. You know, I see it, you know, with my, because at the moment I'm just working with one side of a couple at a time. And to hear you go through together and see that together that they can have that, you know, in the conscious uncoupling process, we have a clearing of the air meetings. And I sometimes do that together with a sister coach who's worked with the other half of the couple. But to do it together all the way through, I think is inspired. Yeah, it's brilliant. Anyway, tell me, what are the different formats that you offer and how do you decide?
So the example that I gave is working with a couple, but you know, it's not always the right way to do it for a particular couple. I do like it in the sense that they get to do their own individual work. Plus they come to see how they help create the dance they did together. And so if it's just them by themselves, it's kind of like however much they can see. But if it's the couple, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. You actually, you know, it's there. And so I think that's a big piece. It's like the part in the whole.
Their truths will out.
Their truths will out, yeah. Mm. And the other thing is that they actually learn to understand and appreciate each other. One of the men in one of my couples who really had a hard time with this at the beginning because he was a, you know, he's grew up on a farm. He's nice, steady, Midwestern guy, you know, with a ball cap and just a sweetheart. But this idea of, you know, working with people, working at this level was just kind of crazy with him. But I remember in the second couple session where they talked about, you know, what they brought to the marriage, to the dance, to find out what was going on for his wife blew him away. He had no idea. It was so freeing for him. And they both got to this level of saying, wow, we just didn't have an understanding. We didn't have skills. We didn't have consciousness for us to have done anything different. Oh, we can be so compassionate with ourselves now and each other.
How beautiful.
So that's a beautiful thing about a couple. But not everybody is in a situation, in the right situation to do it as a couple. So I'll give you one example of someone who came in wanting to do couples coaching and we decided we would just work with him. Okay. So this is Dr. Scott. He was married for 25 years, 2 kids in college. They had tried to divorce many times and never could quite make it. And so they're just living in this kind of never land of cohabitation and just never could move into divorce. Well, he was the one who called me to see if I would work with him and maybe as a couple. But initially his wife said, no, I don't want to do that. And so we were going to just do him. And then once she found out that he was going to go forward, she actually did want to do the couple's work. But in speaking with him, it was really interesting because Dr. Scott had been taking a backseat to his wife for all of those 25 years. He had so lost himself and his own power and his own presence even. He had just over-accommodated to the level that he was literally deadened. And it became so clear that he needed to have me absolutely there just for him, with a solid firewall between what we did and you know, not even a firewall, because I wouldn't have anything to do with his wife. I wouldn't be coaching her. So I did give her the name of someone else to coach, but I didn't set it up as that we were going to do work behind the scenes together, because he needed this for himself.
To restore himself. Yeah.
To restore himself. And so at the end of it, his program, here's what he had to say. He says, "It surprised me, this sense of restoration and wholeness. When a fabric is cut, a patch is a patch and creates a weak point. But I feel that the fabric has been wholly restored."
Bless him. That's just such a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Yeah. So that was the right call for him.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can see, because I think from what you're saying, had the partner come in, the wife come in, she would have been in there with the shears, wouldn't she?
Well, and he would have been doing his old pattern.
He wouldn't
have been able to stand for himself. He wouldn't have even, you know.
No, he'd have handed over the fabric.
Yeah.
So he's got his strength back. He's got his individuality back. He's got his focus, his clarity, and his own sense of agency, what he wants in the world.
Yeah.
He could never have got to if he was allowing her to take the power all the time.
Something he said that was so cute that really nailed it. He says, he's talking to himself. He says, "Dude, get behind the wheel and drive."
I love him. Oh, I love this man.
I kind of love him too.
Whoever you are. Oh. That's great. That's great. So tell us a bit more about how the process works.
Well, I do this a little bit differently than I actually was taught and how most people do it. And again, this comes back to my, you know, many decades working in corporate America. I am so invested and only interested in things that actually get results. And so I feel like that there's this way in which people have to heal and grow that is a process over time. So I have this metaphor that I talk about called the rider and the elephant. And this metaphor, if you just picture kind of a small man sitting on top of a great big elephant, the small man actually represents our prefrontal cortex. That's our executive function. That's where we make our plans. We make our decisions. This is where we're going to, you know, really pull together our lives.
Yeah.
However, if you see this huge elephant sitting underneath him, he's got to get that elephant to go in the right direction. And maybe with just supreme effort and exhausting effort, he can get that elephant to go a little way down the path he wants, but ultimately it's just not sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the experience that I actually had in corporate America. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm working with these brilliant people. If they could have figured out this one negative pattern with a new communication model, I mean, they would have done that a long time ago. There's way more going on here. And I felt like that elephant really started to represent that. So when I think about the work with conscious uncoupling, I think that the writer of the elephant is the one who intellectually understands the five steps and what you're trying to do.
Got you.
But the elephant is the one who has to heal and make the emotional transition and have the experience, enough experience of it to make an emotional transition. So I set up my structure in a much more lengthy framework than what I was taught or what most people actually do. And that's why I do it that way.
I completely agree with you, because if you think about it as head and body, as much as rider and elephant, yeah, we can also do all sorts of things in our heads. But actually, the emotional stuff that is embodied within us is the part that holds us back and creates safety. Keeps everything the same. That's the safety, keeping everything the same. Even though, like you said before, that place could be so painful. We are defensive. So I think you're going to give us an example.
Yeah. So this is a really good example of how this can work. Because if you remember the couple I told you about, Jay and Amy. So Jay had done amazing work for himself to really get that even though his wife was the one who wanted the divorce, he came to see the incredible courage it took for her to uncover all the collusion they had been engaged in. And he came to understand that this was not her, that this was them, that he had been involved in this dance just as much as she had. But what's so interesting is that when he got to this time when he was going to have to tell other people about their divorce, which was really hard for him because he was a role model. He's had a business. He was, you know, this was really going to show that he was not perfect after all. Mm. It brought up all his old patterns. The old pattern was that he didn't actually take ownership or responsibility for things. He actually put it out there for her. So he brought this to our coaching session. It's like, I don't know how to talk about this to my friends because I don't want to throw Amy under the bus. I don't want to make her out to be the bad guy, but she's the one who wanted the divorce. All the understanding that he had gotten to of how he was part of this whole dynamic actually just went right out the window under the stress and the fear of having to tell other people.
Yes, and lose respect in the community. Yeah.
Yeah. And so when we were able to coach through it, which we would not have had that opportunity if we'd only done 5 or 6 sessions and good luck, you now know what to do. Because we had that longer time together, it gave it space for these kinds of things to show up. And in that conversation, he was like, oh, yeah. I forgot. I got to have my focus on myself. I'm the one who is engaged in this with her. It wasn't her. It was us. Mm. I was part of the marriage. I was part of the dynamic. And this divorce that we're going through is for both of us, that we understand this. Mm. So to me, that was just like a brilliant example of why you want to have more time so that when those old patterns reemerge, and they will, you have a fighting chance of catching them and shifting your experience before and your emotion around it.
Yeah, before everybody starts acting from that place. Right. Yeah, I really get that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant work, Jen. Brilliant.
Yeah. So the main structure is that, you know, when I do the couples program, it's kind of like over about 4 or 5 months. Sometimes it gets to be longer depending if we're going through Christmas and whatever. But the individuals each get 12 sessions. And then I have 4 couple sessions with very specific things that we need to do spaced throughout. If I work with just the individual, I give them 17 sessions over 6 months because I think it takes them a little bit longer to see some of the stuff because they don't have a partner mirroring back to them.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. And I really like this model of giving a longer period of time. We are turning an oil tanker. It gives time to adjust to the new direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for the emotion to settle.
Yeah.
We're not on to the next thing before we've digested the last, mixing up all the metaphors, but you know what I mean.
Just
another question. You know, do you work with couples who want to stay together? Because it strikes me your model would be amazingly suited to that.
You know, I do. I still work with couples. In fact, that's how I started out, is integrating these two, the part and the whole, the individual and the couple. And I've had actually some big success with the couples doing it that way. And I do most of my work online. So I'm ending up working with couples, you know, kind of all around the country. And that's kind of nice.
That's beautiful. So you can be reached worldwide, actually, as long as the time zones fit. We won't have you working after dark, I promise you.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, that's lovely. That's lovely. So what are you going to do next, Jen? What's up on next for you on your agenda?
Well, I'm doing something that I'm so excited about, and I want all of your listeners to know and hopefully join us. But are you familiar with The Marriage Story? It was this award-winning movie that just came out this last year on Netflix.
Yeah.
About a couple going through divorce, Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver.
Yes, it's brilliant. Talk about seeing it. Oh, seeing a car crash in slow motion.
Seeing a car. Oh, I love that image. Mm. It is like seeing a car crash in slow motion. And so what I want to do is I want to facilitate discussion and observation and insight by deconstructing what's happening through the lens of conscious uncoupling. Mm. Like, where did this person give up their power? Why are they having so much trouble in this point? How would what we're doing in this step apply here? Mm. So there's this way in which we're looking at it from an entirely different focus, one of really compassion and healing and care. Although I do feel like it's a movie that's really shown with a lot of compassion. So I'm really excited about doing this. I've actually never done that particular approach before, and I think it's very unique and innovative. So I want to invite people to join me for that.
I can't recommend that highly enough, because if you've not seen the movie, you should really see it. It's the real slow demise of a marriage. You see it at its cracking point, and then you see them as they get divorced in all the stages where they could have made a different choice, but they choose the one that actually does them the least good.
Just they so didn't have a sad. Conscious uncoupling coach.
They did not. They didn't have you.
Or you.
Thank you. Oh, so this would be lovely.
If you are interested in that, I want them to know how to contact me. So they can go to my Facebook, which is Jen Joyce Coaching. Mm-hmm. So just again, the Facebook name is Jen, which is J-E-N, only one N, Joyce, J-O-Y-C-E, Coaching. Or they can find me on Instagram at Jen Joyce Coaching, but there's an underscore, Jen_Joyce_Coaching on Instagram. Or you can go to my website, JenJoyce.com, because I will be announcing, inviting people there that as I get this launched.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Jen. I hope people take you up on that offer, because I'm going to be first in the queue. But I just think that's going to be an amazing way of really sort of not going the wrong way. To yeah. have that opportunity to deconstruct will be brilliant. And thank you so much for all your insights. You have a wealth of knowledge. Anybody that gets you as a coach will be getting a real gem. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Heather, and right back at you, sweetie.
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life. I'd like to know what has been your biggest takeaway from this conversation. Do take a minute and share this with us and visit us on our Facebook page. You can connect with me personally on my email at heather@heathergarbutt.com. If you can think of someone who will benefit from listening to this podcast, please do share it with them. If you have any feedback on how I can improve it, please do reach out to me, as I'm always keen to learn more. Thank you so much again for listening, and we'll meet again on the next episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life.